This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the Battery Doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper, boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Is it Sunday yet? What day of the week is it, Jacob?
We're looking at Tuesday.
Oh, damn it. Can we, where's the button? Where's the skip forward button? Where is the, you know, when you're in a video game and there's that cutscene that you just don't want to watch, there's that little skip icon that you can do. You hold X or you hold square, whatever it is. I'd like to hit that and just get us to Sunday where we can watch the Kansas City Chiefs and see if they can get to another Super Bowl. Get to their third straight, their fifth and sixth years, and see if the three-peat can truly come to fruition. It's something that is becoming more and more in view, right? You're driving down the road, you see the sign about a quarter of a mile away, you're having a hard time making it out, but you know it's there. And as you get closer and closer and closer to it, you can sort of make out what's happening, right? There's the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. We're beginning to see that light a little bit more for the Chiefs, but they got a big task ahead of them with the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, and we're going to dive into it and talk about it throughout this edition of After Hours. Tonight, Logan Weber here with you. My producer is Jacob Mustard, and we're going to be with you for the next 3 hours until 9 o'clock tonight. We're going to talk about the Chiefs-Bills game. We're going to talk Commanders-Eagles. We're going to talk about last night's college football playoff national championship game and the Ohio State Buckeyes taking down Notre Dame. The Hall of Fame has officially been announced, this year's class for Major League Baseball. Three guys are going to be immortalized into Cooperstown. We'll discuss that. We've got Mizzou, KU, K-State basketball, some of it going on tonight, some of it going on tomorrow night to talk about. The NFL coaching carousel is entering full swing. You've got guys that have already been hired who are making staff moves and guys who are being hired as head coaches in the National Football League that we will most assuredly talk about on tonight's program. But let's start with Bills Chiefs and really these conference championship games as a whole, because, you know, it's been talked about days and days and days right at this point. If you've been on Twitter and that cesspool, sports wise, you know, if you're on Twitter for other reasons, I'm sure you either had a great time or not so great a time with what was occurring yesterday. Regardless, sports wise, you had the last couple of days has just been ridiculous of 31 fan bases in the NFL complaining about the officiating, complaining that the NFL is rigged for the Chiefs and so on and so forth and whatnot. And, you know, there's an interesting stat that I did not think about at the time, but it occurred to me today. So the four teams that won their divisional round games over the weekend, Jacob, you've got the Chiefs, you've got the Bills, you've got the Commanders, you've got the Eagles. Those four teams committed a total of zero turnovers in the four divisional round games that occurred over the weekend. None. Zero turnovers in four games for the four teams that won. For the four teams that lost, you've got the Detroit Lions, who turned the ball over five times. The Ravens turned the ball over three times. The Rams turned it over twice. Now, and while the Texans did not turn the ball over, right, I'll say that, those three teams, Lions, Ravens, Rams, 10 turnovers to zero for their opponents. The Texans didn't turn the ball over against the Chiefs, right? So that there's something to be said for that. But you had a failed fourth down conversion on fourth and 10 in a position of the field that was really, really important. That, I mean, in my view, that sort of constitutes a turnover, right? It doesn't count towards an overall interception or a lost fumble or a muffed punt, but that is turnover worthy in my view. You attempted a 55-yard field goal that you flat out missed. That can kind of be construed as a bit of a turnover. You gave the ball back to the Chiefs and you didn't punt. You gave them great field position. You missed an extra point and you had a field goal blocked at the end of the game with an opportunity to make it a one-score game. It was 11. You're down 11. You have a chance if you make that kick to make it an 8-point game. You have an opportunity at an onside kick to try to change the trajectory of the game. So while the Texans didn't turn the ball over, they had three or four plays in there that I think were turnover worthy, but they just don't count towards the overall score.
Yeah, and you know, in the playoffs, special teams mistakes, or you know, for the Chiefs' successes, become that much more important. I mean, games are won and lost, not to mention the opening kickoff return for 63 yards and then the tacked on the penalty by the guy who stripped the ball and then threw his helmet in rage. You know, that doesn't help, and it becomes a battle of field position, and it's just something. Turnovers are definitely more costly than penalties.
Oh, no question about it. And I like how you mentioned, you know, how much bigger special teams mistakes and miscues can be a factor in a football game. Think back to not even two seasons ago, last season, Chiefs Niners Super Bowl, muffed punt by the Niners gives the Chiefs the football inside their own 10-yard line, or inside the Niners 10-yard line on a short field for them to punch in a score. Huge factor in the game. You think back to 2 years ago in that Eagles game, right? Kadarius Toney with the longest punt return in the history of the Super Bowl played a massive role in that game flipping on its head. Because at that point, I mean, last year at that point, the Niners led over Kansas City. They had the lead in that game against Kansas City. But that muffed punt really changed the momentum of the game, I think, in some respects. So we can sit here and complain about officiating and two questionable, at best, questionable calls, although the rule book does clearly state that those two fouls are fouls. Even if they are questionable, the rules state. We heard the vice president of officiating for the NFL. I saw him on NFL Network over the weekend talking about that. And he said there are two rules in the NFL handbook, the officiating handbook, that if they are deemed as questionable, you throw the flag, right? Every other rule, if it's questionable that it was a holding, you're told not to throw it. If it's questionable as a pass interference, then, you know, you're questionable pass interference offensively or defensively. The rule book clearly states don't throw the flag, except for roughing the passer in unnecessary roughness. If they are deemed questionable in any sense of the word, officials are told via the rule book, throw the flag.
Yeah, and you know, I, looking at it from kind of the non-Chiefs fan on the radio right now, being, I think what people are more complaining about is Mahomes and his acting career and how it's starting and how he's learning to flop. And you know, I've heard a lot of people say keep that in, and they say the same thing to LeBron, keep that in other sports. And it's more or less that when he was a runner and tried to bait the players into hitting him, it's like, he's not necessarily, he's getting the quarterback protection outside of the pocket when he's a runner. And I think that's where a lot of people have issues if you're talking about it being questionable.
I mean, the one that he, you know, he's trying to, he tried to get a call there, you know, going out of bounds. And it was interesting. Of course, Carrington interviews Patrick every Tuesday on his show, The Drive. And I was listening to it this afternoon, driving into the city. And Pat blatantly said, yeah, that one was egregious, and I knew it, and you know, and that was I regret that, right? But the one where he didn't even really slide; he just kind of fell to the ground. Because I mean, if he turns, the moment he turns and he sees a D lineman at 3:30 bearing down on him, are you going to try to stand up and take that hit? Nobody is. Everybody's going to go down and do that. And both of those guys at that moment in the game, watch the replay of it. Yes, they barely make contact with Mahomes' head, but they do make contact with the head, and they also led with the crown of your helmet. You're taught in freaking Pee-wee, do not lead with the crown of your helmet, ever. For your safety and for the safety of those around you, they both led with the crown of the helmet and hit Mahomes, even if it was just sparingly, on his head, towards the head and neck area. It's an unnecessary roughness penalty. Sorry, Texans, and I'm sorry that you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt when Azeez Al-Shaair 6 weeks ago tried to take Trevor Lawrence's head clean off his body. You're not going to get that call. You're not going to get the benefit of the doubt because you've been a dirty football team.
Oh, yeah, and we've seen dirty players get, like, Vontaze Burfict. Mm-hmm. You know, he's on a shorter leash. So I agree with you there. And, you know, yes, you are taught at a very young age to not lead with your head. It's a boneheaded play at the time. You know, it's a huge game. And yes, by definition, those should have been called. I mean, we look back to, I'll bring up Brady getting tapped on the head. Technically, he got hit in the head. Mm-hmm. If you want to throw those around, I know different scenarios, but, you know, by definition, you definitely have to call it in that situation. You just, as a defender, cannot put yourself in that. I also wanted to bring up that play reminded me of when it wasn't Mitch Trubisky. It was the Commanders quarterback against the Eagles a couple years ago when he fell on the fourth down try, third down. They were trying to get a first down to win the game, and it drew a roughing the passer penalty because an unnecessary for a late hit. Very smart play, and I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but drawing the penalty and won them the game in a big game.
And nobody's seemingly, you know, throwing that big a fit right now when it comes to the Bills and the Keon Coleman play late in that one. You know, Ravens guys defending. Based on my view, that was offensive pass interference against Keon Coleman.
Totally.
And it gets called the other way around. But I'm not seeing everybody go on Twitter and saying, oh, the Bills have the, you know, the refs are in the Bills' pocket and this and that and the other. And, you know, Jackson County's paying taxes on the Chiefs, you know, the ref tax for the Chiefs. And it's like, really? No wonder the housing prices are going up so much. No, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely outlandish. Our text line, 913-586-7965. Please feel free to send us messages throughout the show. I absolutely love this format. I've been here. This is now my third week working here at 96.5, and I love that you guys have this text line put together. Got an 816 says that if you go forward on fourth down and don't get it, isn't it labeled as a turnover on downs? Yes, it's labeled as a turnover on downs, but in like looking at the overall box score of a game, it doesn't count towards turnovers. Turnovers specifically are fumbles and interceptions. So if you look at the box score for the Chiefs game on Bleacher Report or ESPN or wherever, it shows that the Texans had zero turnovers because Stroud didn't throw an interception and nobody lost a fumble in the game. So yes, it's a turnover, but it somehow doesn't count as a turnover. I don't know. It's like a failed fourth down conversion. Technically, it's called a turnover on downs, but nobody ever actually counts it as a turnover. Another 816 says, watch the forearm the guy gave Pat to the head on that slide. No one even brings that up. Yeah, I mean, it was a hit towards the head and neck area. Mahomes is going down. Did he go down late? Yes, he went down late. But by rule, that's the correct call. If you have a gripe, it's with the rule, not with the official who made the call and not with Mahomes for doing it. The gripe you have is with the rule book itself. If you have a problem with it, convince the NFL to change the rule. Guess what? You won't. Because they're trying to protect their players.
Well, and the more you're in the spotlight, I mean, we saw this with any big team that starts winning more and more games, you're under the spotlight more. You're going to see more primetime games. I mean, 10 years ago, the Chiefs were barely on television unless you lived here. Now, everybody in the world is seeing the Chiefs play. And so anytime they get a good or in their favor call that's towing the line, everyone's going to point it out. The Bills are starting to get that way. And like I've bringing up that Keon Coleman point, I even said out loud while I was watching the game, that's offensive pass interference. You know, we're going to go to halftime. And then it was called defense pass interference.
Yeah.
So maybe we're not seeing that just because of the Chiefs overtaking that like media attention. But at the end of the day, you're in the media more, you're going to get more of a spotlight.
No question. Chiefs derangement syndrome is real. If you have it, consult your local physician because it is a rampant, very, very contagious disease that is spreading across the other 31 fan bases in the NFL. And it's one of those things like you talk about, like, you know, Jacob, I know that you are a Patriots fan. You know, this is the kind of attention that the Patriots were getting 10, 15 years ago. But comparing, you know, talking about the Chiefs derangement syndrome that people have, I saw somebody on Twitter that was like, well, people only hated the Patriots because they won. People hate the Chiefs because they're unwatchable and they're in the ref's pocket. We hated the Patriots only because they won. We didn't hate the Patriots because of Deflategate or Spygate or the Tuck Rule or the 100 other things that happened. Really? The Chiefs are somehow more controversial than those Patriots team with Belichick and Brady were? Come on, folks. The recency bias is unbelievable right now.
Well, and you didn't have access to as much media as you had 15 years ago, when 20 years ago, when the Patriots dynasty was starting. And then You got to see some near the Falcons and the later end of the Super Bowls that Brady won with the Patriots. But yeah, nothing like this. I mean, you go on Twitter a second after the game has started, one flag is thrown, and they're like, well, it's rigged. Like, you can see everything is trending, and the access to that much information so fast, and everything's going to spread. Personally, I do think there is a little bit of bias, but you're going to get that when you're the number one quarterback in the league right now.
I mean,
you're going to get the favor of the calls. Brady did for 20 years.
Yeah, and we live in a day and age where everybody's looking for a scapegoat. Everybody's looking for something or someone to blame. And the officials are the easiest thing to blame, right? If you're a Texans fan, you're not going to blame the Chiefs for the Texans losing because you're giving them credit for winning the football game. You're not going to blame the Texans for losing because then you're blaming your team, right? The team that you love and you root for. And you're not going to blame, you know, the coaching staff. Who can you blame? Oh, let's blame two factors in this football game that have absolutely no overall bearing on it, right? Let's blame the officials who do not care who wins the football game. The officials are just there to do a job, right? Let's blame the guys who have an unbiased perspective of the football game. And then let's blame the NFL because it's better than pointing out, you know, it's better than giving the opponent credit for saying that, yeah, they won the game and my team lost. And it's better than blaming your team and dogging on the organization and the players that you love to root for. So, yeah, it's just the era in which we live that nobody can take responsibility, you know, whether that's fans, whether that's players, and apparently coaches, because apparently coaches can do that too now, DeMeco Ryans. We got a lot more coming up here on this edition of After Hours here on this Tuesday. Stick around. We're here till 9 o'clock. You can continue to send us messages, 913-586-7965. This is your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper, boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game-time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
There's nothing like getting yourself onto a soapbox right as the show starts. That's a strange energy to come out of the gates with, but that's what we did today on this edition of After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber joined by my producer, Jacob Mustard, and we're talking about, you know, the conspiracy theories permeating through the NFL about the NFL is rigging it for the Chiefs and the officials are in Kansas City's pocket and all the different things. You know, that's a good way to get a Chiefs fan or any fan really of the NFL fired up, is to talk about this ridiculous notion that the NFL wants the Chiefs to win. Going to our text line again, our number is 913-586-7965. Got a 913, says it's all Taylor's fault, don't you know? Yeah, I've never seen somebody who is not on the field in any capacity to have an overall impact on the final score get blamed so much for the final score. It's absolutely unreal. Just because she's the most popular female on the planet, she's dating a player on the Chiefs, then somehow, yeah, the rest of the league is just pushing for the Chiefs to win. Sure, that's the way it is, right?
I think people see, like, if you're a business promoting somebody, I mean, why not? But at the end of the day, it's sports. There's not, you can't rig sports.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, and you'll get found out for it, like in the NBA, but, you know,
yeah,
it would be obvious.
No question about it. It would be obvious. Look how obvious professional wrestling is. Come on, folks. 816 says common sense will prevail. Maybe we all need to just quit Twitter. That is, I mean, optimistic thinking is how I would put it. Common sense will prevail. I don't think so. common sense seems to have left the building long ago when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs and their abilities. Here, he said, you know, I'll admit it's got to be maddening to be a Patriots fan right now. No hate when I say this. This is probably directed towards you here, Jacob. Definitely. You just lived through the greatest sports dynasty in the history of sports. Brady reached a mountaintop that was clearly unreachable, and yet Brady is not even retired yet. He is not even done, and all of a sudden, this Patrick Mahomes guy starts doing things Brady didn't even do. Then you sit there and see a team that's quite literally on its way to matching the unreachable dynasty of the Patriots. So, of course, the only way to feel better about it is to blame the refs and discredit the dynasty. Now, I mean, I don't want to go so far as to say, I don't think there's anything that Mahomes has done so far that Brady didn't do. That's why this next 3-4 weeks here is so incredibly important for the overall legacy of Patrick Mahomes. Because if he's able to win the Super Bowl this year and accomplish a three-peat, something that not only did Brady never do it, nobody has ever done it. Nobody who's ever played the quarterback position in the history of football has accomplished something to this magnitude. Right. I mean, Brady won back to back Super Bowls. Brady's got MVPs. Brady's got Super Bowl MVPs. He's won Super Bowls. He's lost Super Bowls. Right. We talked about how this year's Chiefs team went to seven consecutive AFC championship games. Now, Brady did it for eight straight years in New England. So everything that Mahomes has accomplished so far in his career, not saying that he did it exactly like Mahomes has done it, but Brady has accomplished that in some respect, right? 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. Brady was able to do that too in his career. So that's, I think, what makes this year so incredibly important for Patrick Mahomes and his overall legacy, to go out and get a three-peat, something that Brady never did in his career. He will have now four Super Bowls won. He's been to five in 6 years, and he's not even 30 years old. That's the most unbelievable part about all of this, is that we are comparing him consistently to Tom Brady all the time, which I know probably drives you nuts, Jacob, but he's not even 30 years old. Like, his career may not be halfway done with at this point. That's insane to think about.
Yeah, it's insane. But that's also what we saw from Brady. I mean, the famous clip of the cliff is coming, and it's what we heard about LeBron, you know. This won't go on for much longer. And they say it at 30, and that tweet just resurfaced of him saying it at 40. It's just like, to me, and yes, I see the most recent comment, all love. Yes, yes. We're just debating sports here. No, my whole deal is, yes, Mahomes needs to do this three-peat. This could be the only time he gets close to doing a three-peat. I mean, it's extremely hard, like you said, never been done before. My only thing, I mean, obviously I'm biased, but at the end of the day, a 40-year-old Brady stopped Mahomes from getting two rings, one in the AFC Championship game and then one in the Super Bowl when he was with Tampa Bay. Mm. That's the only thing that will probably, unless Mahomes gets eight rings, put Brady always above, because we are in an inflated era of, and it's always going to happen, it's changing. I mean, Curry to Jordan's three-point attempts. I mean, drastic measures, but Jordan's still considered the GOAT. It's just a different era, more passes, more volume. So the statistics, Mahomes is going to get more yards than Brady unless he doesn't play as long. So that's where, you know, everything's still kind of up in the air. Brady played till 44. Is Mahomes going to play that long? Does he have another 15 years in him? Or... Yeah, 15 years.
Be 15, yeah. But the question is, will he need 15? If he's able to do this, right, he will accomplish a three-peat, something that Brady never did. He'll do it at age, he'll win his fourth Super Bowl at age 29, right? I believe Brady won his third Super Bowl in, what, 2004?
It was 3 and 4 years, yes.
Yeah, he won 3 and 4 years.
Then there was a drought.
And then he did not win another Super Bowl again for 10 years. It wasn't until 2014.
And he was in contention in 07 and 10, both lost to Peyton Manning. But, yeah, it's...
Eli Manning.
Or Eli.
Yeah.
One of the Manning brothers. Whichever one's better, I mean...
Oh, Peyton. Peyton's better, yeah, right? Which definitely. Is probably why it's a little bit embarrassing that Brady lost both of those Super Bowls. I kind of enjoyed it because I had I have a cousin who played football at Northwest Missouri State who was on both of those Giants teams that won those Super Bowls. So that was kind of cool. And again, talking about going to our text line here, we got an 816 saying, you're talking about a first year and third year Patrick Mahomes against the GOAT. You know, I mean, yeah, Mahomes was 23 during that 2018 AFC Championship game, and he was 25 in that Super Bowl in 2020. It was the 2021 season, correct, I believe.
Correct.
So yeah. That is a drastic difference from a guy who, in Brady, who had been in the league for 20 years, and while he wasn't as athletically gifted as Patrick, what Mahomes has gotten so much better at in the last 5 years is finding other ways to win instead of just doing it with just pure talent. he's finding ways to win mentally in his preparation, in his ability to read and diagnose defenses and coverage and blitzes and all the things. That is what Brady was so good at, especially by that point in his career. Mahomes just hadn't quite caught up to that yet. Now, that's semantics. That's a conversation that'll be debated until the end of time. Try to bring the Jordan LeBron argument into this. So we're going to debate Brady and Mahomes and Jordan and LeBron in the same conversation.
It will. It's going to be till the end of time. I mean, yes, it would have been embarrassing for Brady to lose at that point in time, but you're talking about the up-and-comer, and he had to. That's the other thing. Brady's gone. Brady's retired. You cannot, as Mahomes, beat Brady in a playoff or Super Bowl again. Those were your only chances. Does it suck for Mahomes that it happened in his first and third year? Yes. But at the end of the day, that's the stick you drew.
Right.
And if you weren't able to accomplish it then, that was your only shot.
It's just mind-boggling for me to think about how Mahomes isn't even 30 years old yet, and, you know, the only guy that people are having conversations about in comparison is Brady. Nobody's comparing him to Montana or Elway or Marino or Staubach or Terry Brett. He's surpassed all of those guys already.
I don't know.
At least in the eyes of the fan.
Yeah, I don't know if he's surpassed Montana on a lot of people's, like, overall rankings, but he's two or three on pretty much everybody's rankings, because Montana does have the four rings. I think people are going to use that until Mahomes gets his fourth or eventually fifth and potentially more. But, you know, I think there has not been an athlete who has had this much success this early, except LeBron, and LeBron didn't even have the rings. He was more regular season. Granted, he ran into a couple buzzsaw teams, but this is kind of what we're seeing, is Mahomes is kind of like the LeBron. Now, does he have the longevity? That's still up in question. I saw a comment say that he thinks that Mahomes could walk away at 36. That's seven more years if we're talking about how old Mahomes is right now. He would have to win almost every Super Bowl from now on if he doesn't win this one.
Ah. I mean, if he were to win seven in a row, he will have won 10 Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as many as Brady's been to.
I mean, Mahomes has been to four. Yeah, he's been to four already. This would be his fifth trip to a Super Bowl. He's 29. You know, it is what it is. It's a hypothetical debate that will rage on till the end of time, unless Mahomes does go out and get, you know, seven, eight Super Bowls, and he does all the blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, we can debate this we've already been on 32 minutes.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be able to talk about for years, and that's the beauty of sports.
And the Jordan LeBron debate started a decade ago and is still just as strong a debate today as it was 10 years ago, and it will never cease to not be an argument. That's just the nature of the beast, and that's the beauty of sports, is that we disagree and we argue and we debate, and nobody really has an answer, right? No, it's so hard, especially in a sport like football, where it's 11 on 11, right? It's not even like basketball, where it's 5 on 5. It's 11 on 11, and everybody's got a different role on the field. And everybody's got different players on those teams. It's just hard to put it all together, right? If Mahomes and Brady were to play a full season at the same age with the same roster of guys, then yeah, you can make it. You make an unimpoverished and regulated decision about it. But until that, I mean, that'll never happen. So until then, we debate hypotheticals. But there's a lot of things to not be hypothetical about. And that includes what we saw yesterday. Ohio State taking down Notre Dame, winning themselves a national championship for the first time in 10 years. And nobody is happier, I guarantee it, than Ryan Day, the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. We'll discuss that when we come back. You're listening to After Hours with Logan Weber and Jacob Mustard right here on 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper, boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles, gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Imagine, you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Well, Ryan Day is a very happy man today after being able to escape the purgatory that was the Ohio State Buckeye faithful and the complaints year over year over year during his tenure about his inability to win the big one, right? The Ohio State Buckeyes under Ryan Day have been a very good football. He's 70-10 in his career, but there were people out there that were saying that he should get fired because Ryan Day hadn't won a national championship and he hadn't been to a national championship game and he can't beat Michigan and all the different things. And despite the fact that he still can't beat Michigan, or at least he hasn't yet in his career, he is now a national champion. The Ohio State Buckeyes beating Notre Dame during last night's college football playoff national championship game by a score of 34-23. And if we're all being honest with ourselves, it really wasn't that close. I mean, Ohio State goes up 21-7 at halftime. They get the ball to start the third quarter. They march down the field, score. It makes it a 28-7 game. And it kind of looked like this one's over. Then Notre Dame gives up another Buckeye field goal. So it's 31-7 late in the third quarter. Notre Dame's able to punch in a couple of scores to try to make things a little bit more interesting. You know, game was pretty well in hand by the time they got the second score in at 4:15 to go in the fourth quarter. Riley Leonard, it was kind of too little too late for his performance throwing the football. And then, you know, the Buckeyes kick a field goal with 26 seconds left to kind of, I guess, completely solidify things. But man, what a performance though for the Ohio State Buckeyes. And Will Howard, 17 of 21 for 231 and two scores. So it, not like he blew the roof off the place throwing for 350 or 400 yards, but incredibly accurate, incredibly efficient with the football. I think if I remember right, he was either 12 for 12 or 13 for 13 to start the game. I mean, he was incredibly accurate throughout the game. And then Quinshon Judkins, I mean, he's obviously well known for his running ability. 11 carries, 100 yards, two touchdowns on the ground, including a big 70-yard rushing touchdown. But then or 70-yard run. He didn't score on that one. And then a guy who's not really all that well known for his pass catching ability, but he had two big grabs for 21 yards. One of them was a touchdown catch that really broke the game wide open. That's the one that made it 21-7 in favor of Ohio State. The Fighting Irish just could not get anything going, really. I mean, especially on the ground. 2 yards a carry for Notre Dame. When they came into this one with, you know, Riley Leonard and how dangerous he is with his legs. And then you've got Jeremiah Love, who's one of the better young backs in college football. Jadarian Prince is a good back. Aeneas Williams is a good one. He's from the state of Missouri over in Hannibal on the east side of the state. Couldn't do much of anything in the game. I mean, outside of Jaden Greathouse, Notre Dame didn't have much of an offense to speak of. He had 128 yards and 2 touchdowns on 6 catches. Next closest was Mitchell Evans with 52 yards through the air. Buckeyes really, really dominated this one. If not for an Emeka Abuka fumble, I don't think Notre Dame gets within the 11-point final score that we see. I mean, Ohio State was very much methodically driving the ball down the field when Abuka had that fumble, that ball that was very impressively punched loose. But yeah, for Ohio State, it's a national championship. It's their first one in quite a while. I believe they won the first college football national championship when it was the 4-team format. And he won that national championship in 2014, I want to say. Does that sound right? 2014, I believe, was the first year of the college football playoff in the 4-team format.
I think that's correct, but you'll have to fact check me.
Yeah, it was 2014. They beat Oregon that year 42-20. I believe that may have been Mariota's senior year, the year that Marcus Mariota won the Heisman Trophy that year. But I mean, what a year it was for Ohio State, right? You've got the tough one to Oregon because of late, you know, clock management mishaps that led to, you know, Will Harrod tries to slide, doesn't realize the clock's out and all the things. And that's a tough one to swallow if you're Ohio State because they were in goal range, right? If they had time left, they could have kicked a field goal and potentially won the game, but clock management kind of doomed them. And then you put together a really embarrassing level of effort against Michigan in the final game of the year, a Michigan team that was, you know, just ho-humming it along with a first-year head coach after Harbaugh leaves. And you're thinking, okay, you know, 10-2, they probably still make the playoff, and inevitably, of course, they do. But I mean, there were people out there after the Michigan loss that said, should Ryan Day be fired? Right? There were folks that said, if Ohio State loses to Tennessee, Ryan Day's time is done. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's kind of in my body. And then all they did was just turn it on and play their best football of the year when it mattered the most. Jeremiah Smith is an absolute freak. Jeremiah Smith would be the first wide receiver taken in this year's draft as a freshman if he was eligible to go.
I would say potentially last year, too. I mean, it'd be. I know we saw Marvin Harrison being 1A.
Yeah, MHJ is kind of a tough one.
Being a 1B, 1A, 1B class, we might have to throw a 1C in there if he was in that last year.
Well, there kind of was a 1C with Rome Odunze from Washington as well, although he didn't wow you in his rookie year in comparison to what those two guys, or even like a Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, was able to accomplish this year. He was really impressive for Jacksonville.
There's just too many mouths to feed on the Bears for bringing in a rookie quarterback to try and get him all the stats that, Brian Thomas even had on the Jags.
Yeah.
There was a tight end competing for receptions.
Right.
There.
With DJ Moore and Keenan Allen already there. And then you've got a good tight end in Cole Kmet. You've got the running back in DeAndre Swift there. Yeah. There's only one football, right? And it's kind of hard to get touches for everybody. Odunze had some flashes and it's a rookie quarterback. And obviously Matt Eberflus was not the guy for the Chicago Bears. So I don't know, but you know, as much as I will say that my hatred for Notre Dame has decreased exponentially, I've begun to realize that maybe I just didn't like Brian Kelly. It's not that I didn't like Notre Dame, although I still, you know, I will admit I was not actively rooting for the Fighting Irish yesterday. Sorry to Mr. Shane Gillis. I was not actively rooting for Notre Dame. I was rooting for Ohio State, and, you know, I'm a Big Ten guy, and I had said back in September, before the season started, that I thought Ohio State was the most talented team in college football and that they were my pick to win the national championship. I even said prior to the college football playoffs starting, despite the fact that they had lost two games, despite losing to Oregon, and despite the embarrassing performance against Michigan, I still thought that Ohio State was the best team in college football, top to bottom, offensively, defensively. You knew what their defense was going to do. Such a talented roster. They had eight guys that were Ohio State born, and, you know, Ohio State guys that came in as freshmen who had worked their way up to starters. And then the other pieces were a freshman All-American and Caleb Downs and a couple of other really big contributors. So despite that, you know, what some have reported as a $20 million roster and whatnot, a lot of it was just about retention, right? It's not like they went out and got 25 new guys out of the transfer portal. They landed 8 or 10 big time guys, Will Howard and Caleb, you know, Caleb Downs and other guys to fill needs. But for the most part, that roster was about retention, keeping guys around that had been freshmen, sophomores, had been recruited there and developed with the Ohio State Buckeyes. And they went out and they did the thing. But I got to say, I walked away. I'm a huge fan of Marcus Freeman now. I think he's as good a coach as you're going to find in college football, and I think that he will put Notre Dame in a position to be successful for a long, long time, something that Brian Kelly was not able to do. In fact, maybe my favorite quote to look back on when it comes to this Notre Dame football season was Brian Kelly at his introductory press conference at LSU, who said that he took this job because he wanted to go to a program that had the resources to win a national championship. If Notre Dame's defense had been able to put together a stop or two against Ohio State, especially in those first three quarters, they could have won a national championship. That's how close they were. It's not like the Brian Kelly Notre Dame teams that made the college football playoff and lost 70-21. This is a different day and age for Notre Dame football, and that can be attributed in very large part to Marcus Freeman.
Yeah, I mean, they're on the up and up, and they have their coach of the future. It's something that is good. And I was going to mention that about Ryan Day and your point on how it's homegrown talent. It's like, that's what happens if you stick with a coach. There's a lot of uproar about him potentially being fired because he wasn't winning the big game. Well, you have to get to the big game to even have a chance. And, you know, you got to give a coach more than a couple years. And I know now this is going to be his, what, ninth season with them. I think he took the role in 18. So only 7 years now, 7 or 8. It's something that their talent level is attributed to somebody wanting to come play for him, and that's where they got their transfers. And but you get kids to stick around because you have a coach that sticks around.
No question. Yeah, he just finished up year 7 at Ohio State and finally wins a national championship. He's never had a season at Ohio State where he lost more than 2 games. 2 games is the most losses that he's ever had in a season in his entire career. He went 13-1 in 2019, and they lost in the Fiesta Bowl that year. They lost in the national championship game. He went 7-1 in the COVID-shortened 2020 season, or I shouldn't say they lost in the Fiesta Bowl. They lost in the semifinal of the college football playoff. They lost in the national championship game in 2020 after winning the Sugar Bowl. They won the Rose Bowl in 21, lost the Peach Bowl in 22. Of course, Mizzou fans will remember they lost the Cotton Bowl in 2023, playing against the Missouri Tigers. And then this year they go 14-2, and they win themselves a national championship. So pretty remarkable run for Ryan Day and the Ohio State Buckeyes. They're going to have a lot to replace, though. They're going to lose a big chunk of their offense, of course, with Will Howard. I know that Travion Henderson is a senior. Quinshon Judkins may have a decision to make this offseason, right? You're going to get Jeremiah Smith back, more likely than not. But you lose Emeka Abuka, you lose Jack Sawyer. Man, I don't know. I really don't know. We got a lot more to get to here. Of course, we haven't had a chance really to even preview in the slightest sense what this Bills-Chiefs AFC Championship game may look like on Sunday, so we'll do that a little bit later on. We'll also talk Commanders-Eagles, an NFC East division rivalry to decide who will represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. That's coming up. But we had a trio of guys inducted into Cooperstown, the Baseball Hall of Fame that we want to talk about on tonight's program. This is After Hours with you till 9 o'clock. Logan Weber, joined by Jacob Mustard on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan. Everybody in Chiefs Kingdom gearing up for Sunday's matchup against the Buffalo Bills. Everybody waiting with bated breath for this performance to see if Mahomes can go 4-0 against Josh Allen in the playoffs through the first 7 years of his career as a starter and continue this run towards what could be NFL history with a three-peat. And somebody out there is very, and I mean very, confident in the Chiefs beating the Bills on Sunday. According to Caesar's Sportsbook, somebody, right, it's pretty anonymous, obviously, somebody out there put down a $1.3 million tag, $1.3 million bet on the Chiefs to beat the Bills on Sunday. My only question is, who is that person? Is it a Chiefs fan? Or is it a celebrity out there who is putting 1.3? Is it the mattress guy? Is it Marlins man? Like, who is it? Who's doing it? Please, for the love of God, don't let it be Drake. That's my only request, Jacob. If this is Drake putting $1.3 million on the Chiefs, I am about 10 to 15% less confident than I was walking into today, knowing that Drake has put money down on the Chiefs considering his track record.
I mean, yes, his track record is definitely sketchy on who he picks, but that was the first name that I thought of when you mentioned that to me. I was like, I didn't even know this happened, but it's probably going to be Drake who put the money down.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it. He put money down on the Maple Leafs to win a game 7 back in 2019. He put money down on the Alabama Crimson Tide to win the national championship in 2019 when they got boat raced by Clemson. Here's another one. In championship games in 2019, he picked the Chiefs to beat the Patriots. Nope. And he picked the Saints to beat the Rams. Nope. He picked Conor McGregor to win a fight in 2018. Over Khabib? Nope. He picked the Warriors to beat the Cavs in 2016. That was the year they came back, the 73-9 year. They were up 3-1 and lost. Yeah.
Track record's worse than I thought.
It is. It's not great. It's not great in any sense of the word. I hope to God that Drake did not put that $1.3 million down at Caesars for the Chiefs to beat the Bills, because that makes me more cautiously optimistic than just optimistic about the Chiefs' chances against Buffalo on Sunday. A lot more to get to, though. We're going to talk about this Chiefs-Bills game, but I want to talk about, when we come back here in the second hour, Major League Baseball, the Hall of Fame results are in, and three guys will soon be immortalized in baseball history in Cooperstown. A couple of all-time legends that are in their first year of voting who got into the hall, and one who was on his last potential opportunity for first-time voting. We'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport.
Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.